Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will please, to the book of Mark, chapter 14. Mark, chapter 14. After the lesson, we'll be singing number 301, The Soul, a Savior Thou Art Needing. And we'll be singing that in just a little bit. The title of the lesson this morning, The Woman Who Did What She Could. So hope that the study will help you, benefit you, edify you, and encourage you to do what you can. It's good to see everyone present this morning. We have several visitors with us. Thank you for being here. And if you have any questions whatsoever, we'd be more than glad to do our best to open our Bibles and study with you and give you a Bible answer for what we believe, teach, and practice. And any time that you would like to sit down and study and talk with me privately, I'll do my very best to make myself available for that. The book of Mark, the 14th chapter, the Lord is nearing the end of His life here on the earth. In verse 1, it says, "After 2 days it was the Passover, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might take Him by trickery and put Him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial." This story is amazing. In fact, verse 9 follows this up, and three of the gospel accounts mention this act. Notice what Jesus then says, "Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." What this woman did was important to the Lord. Why? What did she do that was so valuable? Well, I'll say one thing that she did is that she showed her faith in the Lord. She showed her gratitude because it wasn't long before this that Lazarus had been raised from the dead. She showed her devotion and her love for Him. And in contrast with this, you have the chief priests and the elders of the people trying to figure out how they can kill Him. You have Judas, who has already been rubbed the wrong way. And after this event, what does he do? As you go on and read verses 10 and 11, he decides he's going to betray Jesus, and he goes and he makes the arrangements to do just that. And not only that, but you also have Judas and the other disciples criticizing Mary for what she had done. She did what she could. We need to be people who also do what we can in service to the Lord. The Jews were plotting to find a way to kill Jesus. You can compare Matthew's account, 26 verses 1 through 5 with this, as well as Luke chapter 22 verses 1 and 2. They were meeting. They were trying to figure out. In fact, they were doing this. You go back to John chapter 12 and also John chapter 11. They were trying to figure out how they could kill Him, and not only Him, but also Lazarus. Because of Lazarus being raised from the dead, many were believing on Him. And Pilate was exactly right when he determined that they had delivered Him over for envy. They were jealous of the Lord. Jesus is staying in Bethany at this time. In fact, John says 6 days before
the Passover. Mark says 2 days. John is not dealing so much with the particular day of the event of Mary anointing Jesus. He's dealing with the time in which he had initially came to Bethany. And he was staying in Bethany and traveling back and forth to Jerusalem, back to Bethany, to Jerusalem, teaching him back to Bethany. And so 2 days before the Passover, the preparation was begun for the Passover, the Lord is there and the event takes place that we just read about. This supper is prepared in the house of Simon the leper. No doubt, one who was previously a leper but no longer was a leper because the Lord had healed him. Jesus had performed many miracles. But you had the raising of Lazarus as being the key one that really, really convinced people that he was, in fact, the prophesied, the promised Messiah. Now, as we get to our text and we look at verse 3, Mark 14 and verse 3 says, "And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil, a spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head." She did what she could with what she had. And we are told in John that this woman is Mary, the sister of Lazarus. It was Lazarus. And John's account says that she anointed his feet and rubbed her feet, or his feet, with her hair. Mark's account, Matthew's account, say that she poured it on his head. Well, she did both. There's no contradiction here. She did both. Mary, the sister of Lazarus. An alabaster flask was a small stone flask. Contained approximately a pint of liquid. And this was liquid. It wasn't a paste. It was a liquid. It was perfume. It wasn't, you know, something you spray. It was a liquid that she poured out. It was sealed with wax. And once you break the seal, there was no putting it back. We're told also that it was very costly. The value of about 300 denarii. Thanks to Judas, we know about how much it was worth. That was about a year's wages. 300 days' wages. Denarii a day. Now, depending on which commentary you look at, they try to put a dollar amount on it, whether it be $40 or $60. And I'm sure back when Jameson Fawcett Brown said it was $60, it probably was $60. What was it worth today? Inflation and all of that, who knows? Let me just put it to you this way. Here's the best way to make the comparison. How much do you make in a year? How much do you make in a year? That's how much it was worth to her. What do you make in a year? So very costly, very expensive for her. Oil of spikenard, this was a costly perfume. Very rare. It was made of aromatic oil from a rare plant root native to northern India. And it was very costly because of its rarity. But she had it. And she used it. Mary broke the seal and she poured the perfume over Jesus' head and on his feet. She anointed him. This particular act was an expression of her love and devotion. This was not the anointing of a guest, was not something out of the ordinary, because it took place on most festive Jewish occasions, but not with something so costly. That was the distinction. Luke chapter 7 and verse 46, Jesus is anointed there by the sinner. And so, of course, he's rebuked for that. But it's not something completely uncommon. But this lavish gift was more than just a customary thing. Mary's gift expressed her love and thanks to Christ. But not only that, I want you to think about this. The faith that was manifested by this act. The faith. Jesus said that she had kept it for His burial. What did she know? What did she understand? What did she believe differently from the rest of the disciples? I want you to think about that. You know, it's not that Jesus had not spoken about His death before. You can go over to Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 26 and verses 1 and 2. Jesus had just told His disciples what was going to happen. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 1, "Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that He said to His disciples, 'You know that after 2 days is the Passover.'" Now this was the same day, according to Mark's account of Mark 14. "That after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." He's telling His disciples. I wonder if Mary was in the audience. In fact, you go down to verse 12. Verse 12 of Matthew. "For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial." That's telling me the reason why Mary did it. You go over to, or go back to chapter 16 of the book of Matthew. Verse 21. "There, Jesus said, from this time, Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you.'" The disciples did not want to believe it. It appears that Mary did. In chapter 17 and verse 22, chapter 20 and verse 18, all these events taking place prior, Jesus had made it known what was going to happen to His disciples. And when you think and consider that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were three of His closest friends and loved ones, remember, you go back to John the 11th chapter, and Mary and Martha send for Jesus. Why? Because their brother Lazarus is sick. And Lazarus waits until after he dies, and then Jesus goes. And he gets there, and Martha meets him first. "If you would have just been here, my brother would not have died." And then Mary comes out. "If you would have just been here, our brother would not have died." And when they were going to the tomb, He had been in the grave for 4 days. We read, Jesus wept. Why? These were people that were very, very close to our Lord. She anointed Jesus with this very costly perfume because she understood, she believed what Jesus said, seemingly more so than the rest of the disciples. She did what she could with what she had, a very costly flask of ointment or perfume. This gift expressed the magnitude of her gratitude, her love, and her faith. You know, our gifts, what we give the Lord, is manifested by what we're willing to give Him. If all we are willing to give the Lord are our leftovers, do you think the Lord is satisfied with that? Is that showing love, gratitude, and faith when we give the Lord only what we have left over? You can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3. The Apostle Paul there commends the churches who were giving and contributing to the support and the help of the needy saints. And he says, "For I bear witness that according to their liberality, yes, and beyond their ability, They were freely willing.
Sacrifice. Giving until it hurts. Doing not only what we can, but giving even more than we can at times.
The price of the gift itself is not what determined the value or the magnitude of Mary's gratitude. It was her willingness to sacrifice what she had. That's what made it impressive. What value is my gift if it costs me nothing? Remember, David was going to offer a sacrifice in 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 24. And 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 24. The same event is recorded. And he is offered this place where he's going to offer a sacrifice for free. It was wanted to be given to him. And David said, "Can I offer a sacrifice to the Lord that costs me nothing?" Think about that principle. You go to Malachi chapter 1 and verses 6 through 14. What was the complaint against the children of Israel? You know what? They in fact asked the Lord, "In what way have we defiled you?" Because the Lord had said, "You have defiled my name." "In what way have we defiled you?" Well, the Lord told them, "Because you offer the lame, you offer the sick. Shall I accept this from your hand? Offer this to your governor, will he accept it?" My friend, do you think that the Lord accepts half-hearted service? Do you think that the Lord accepts our leftovers? What are we willing to give for the Lord? You see, she gave all. And I want to tell you again, it's not just the price of the gift. In fact, it wasn't even just the gift itself. What we see here is a woman who had given her all for the Lord. She was devoted to Him. How much? Do you think she was just 50% devoted? Or 60 or 70? She was a woman that was 100% devoted. She trusted the Lord. She was so thankful for Him, for what He had done for her. Mark the 12th chapter, verse 29. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." How much are we to love the Lord? "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all." In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount says in verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What you value most in life, that's where your heart will be. Verse 22, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now here, focus. Our eye must be focused on God, on that which is right and good and holy. And then verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. Our heart must be wholly devoted to the Lord. She gave all. When she broke that flask, she poured it all. She gave all. We cannot be divided in heart. James 4 and verse 8. So, she did what she could with what she had. Some think of what they would do if if they had the money or they had the time or they had the talent that some of these other folks, I would be the best song leader in the world if I could sing. I would be the best preacher in the world if I could stand before people and preach. But since I don't have those gifts, I can't do anything. I can't give the Lord. I don't have anything to give the Lord. Oh, yes, you do. Everyone has something to give to the Lord. You have whatever it is you can do to give to the Lord. And every part is needed. Go read up and study 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Begin there in verse 13 and read down through the end of the chapter. Every part is important. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 14 through 16. What every part supplies, all is important. Do what you can. She had a flask of ointment, of oil, perfume. It was expensive. And that's what she gave. Do what you can. She did a good work for the Lord. Do what we can with what we have. Okay. She did what she could regardless of the criticism that would follow. I don't know if she thought before she did it that, you know, most of these disciples, they're not going to appreciate this. They're not going to like it. I don't suspect she even thought about Judas being critical, but there's always a potential for when we do something, people are going to criticize what we do. So here's the thing. She was focused on serving and pleasing Christ. I don't think she cared what anybody else thought about it. I think she was only focused on pleasing the Lord, not the disciples. She didn't do this for show. She had demonstrated this trait earlier. You can go back to Luke in the 10th chapter, verses 38 through 42. Martha was serving, and what was Mary doing? She was sitting at the Lord's feet. She was listening to the Lord. And Martha comes in and she fusses. She complains about Mary sitting there, not helping her serve. And Jesus said to Martha, she has chosen that good part. She was more interested in the Word of the Lord than she was in doing some other things. Now, other things were important, that's fine, but she had chosen the most important thing. That was kind of Mary's thing, I believe. She was focused on doing what she could and doing what was right. Her good deed made others who witnessed her act indignant. That's what the passage says in verse 4. But there were some who were indignant among themselves. Why was this fragrant oil wasted? They were angry. Sore or much displeased. That's from Strong's. Their opinion was that what she had done was a waste and wrong, and therefore she needed to be rebuked. And the Lord, in fact, they were rebuking the Lord here as well. Why don't you stop this woman? Why don't you fuss at her and rebuke her for this? This is a waste. Isn't it odd how some folks see things sometimes? Why we see things from such different perspectives? They said, for it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. They spoke out. Now, they had a better idea and a more noble idea for how Mary should have used this. You should have taken it and sold it and given the money to the poor. But Jesus didn't agree with it. Judas was the originator of this criticism. We find that out in John chapter 12 and verse 6. And we're told why. Why he had this perspective and why he complained. Because he wanted the money. He was the keeper of the money bag. And what was he used to doing? He was used to taking money out of the money bag. He was a thief. That's why he wanted her to do what she did. So he had ulterior motives. And we also know that the criticism of Judas was adopted by others, because it does say here in our text, as well as in Matthew, that they criticized her sharply. Judas wasn't alone in the criticism. But we're told in John that he's the one who originated the criticism. You know what happens many times? When people see something that they don't agree with and they become critical of it, now they may have a completely evil motive behind it, but what happens is the other people who aren't so sinister, they jump on the bandwagon. Influence is powerful. And it's a shame that evil influence has as much weight and carries as much weight as it does sometimes. Judas's criticism was adopted by others. Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me." Again, Mary sought no fame for herself. She wasn't trying to impress the disciples. All she was doing, all that was on her mind was to honor Jesus. Because she believed Jesus' words, He was about to die. And to gain His favor, she exhibited in this act more faith than all the others. And you know, it's what's sad is sometimes we save our acts of kindness, our deeds of goodness, we save them, and then when someone that we love is then gone, then we spend all of this money, we take the beautiful flowers and we say the things, perhaps at a funeral, that we should have said while they were still alive. And Mary was not going to wait until after the Lord was dead to tell Him how much she loved Him. And they were criticizing her for that. Jesus said that the story would be told throughout the world as a memorial to her. This was a significant act in the eyes of Christ Himself. He appreciated it. You know, we do need to express our love. We do need to express our appreciation for other people while we have opportunities. She did what she could regardless of the critics. You know, understand, it's not wrong to criticize justly. Not wrong to question for clarity and understanding. The disciples did that in Matthew chapter 10 or chapter 13 and verse 10. They asked the Lord why He taught in parables. Now, they had trouble understanding Him. Well, they were just wanting clarity. It's not wrong to question for clarity and understanding. Or it's not wrong to acknowledge that things are not being done that ought to be done. And we need to criticize things that are wrong. We need to rebuke people that are in error. We certainly need to do those things. But the hypercritical spirit, the critical spirit that we see in Judas, that was born from evil motives, that affected others and got them jumping on the bandwagon, rebuking this girl, this woman, for what she had done. Many people follow in that vein today. They criticize those who are working, who are doing what they can. They're criticizing people who do give all. And you know what? I don't know if it's jealousy or it's hatred, because those who are doing what they can make those who are not doing what they can look bad. And that causes guilt to swell up in people who are not doing, and they know they're not doing, what they ought to be doing. And so they develop bitterness and resentment for those who are doing what they ought to do. But we need to do what's right anyway. Jesus received much criticism, so will we. There will always be critics, but we cannot allow critics to paralyze us with fear. Let us not worry about what men say. When we know that what we are doing is right, and what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about the fellow over in Romans 14 who puts a stumbling block in front of his brother's way. His brother believes it's wrong. Listen, here's a good example, I believe. Let's say that someone thinks that it's wrong for us to have multiple containers. Okay, let's study with them. Let's try to work that out. But if they're just going to cause trouble, listen, let's do what's right and what we know is right and what's best. There are circumstances and there are times in which we just need to do what is right because it needs to be done. If we allowed critics to get in our way, we would never get anything done. She did what she could while she could do it. Verses 7 and 8. Jesus said, "Me you do not have with you always." She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for my burial. She did what she could while she could. The contrast of verse 7 is not between Jesus and the poor. Jesus is not saying, "I'm better than the poor." What Jesus is saying is, "I am not going to be here much longer. There will always be poor people. There will always be opportunities to help them. The opportunities to honor me is about to run out while I'm here." And so he is telling them she did what she could while she had an opportunity, because that opportunity is about to go. Now, when you think about this, it's interesting. She has come beforehand. You can compare that with John's account. Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. Now, other manuscripts, in fact, the New American Standard renders it this way: "Let her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial." Well, the idea is not that she is to keep it until the day that he's buried, because she's already broken the flask. She's already poured it on his head. She's already poured it on his feet. The idea is that she has done this, and you need to leave her alone and let her continue to keep that which she has committed to me. Let her do it. Let her do it. Because she had been keeping this until the day of my burial. This was something she was planning to do. This was what she was saving for my anointing. And so, we too must do what we can while we can, while we have opportunity. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, what does he say about those fellows who are going to this city and they have made these plans? "We're going to buy, we're going to sell, we're going to do this, we're going to do that." What did James say about those folks? He said that we ought to say, "If the Lord wills, we will." Because our life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Too many procrastinate. We put off doing what we ought to do today. We put it off till tomorrow. Like Felix in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, when he says, "When I have a more convenient day, I will call for you." Of course, he put off salvation. And today is the day of salvation, and we need to take advantage of the day to do what we should. To obey the Lord. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, then today is the day of salvation. A Hebrew writer applies it to the people of God. Today is the day of salvation. Hear His voice. Today, hear His voice. And harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. Today is the day of service to the Lord. Let Jesus know by showing your faith and your honor and your love, by doing what you can in your life. Are you using what you have for the Lord? Are you doing the things that you can be doing for the Lord? Are you doing what you can, regardless of what other people say, or do you allow others to hold you back? Are you doing what you can while you can do it? today? Are you a procrastinator? Or are you doing and fulfilling your opportunities wisely? Are you grateful to the Lord for what He's done for you? The Lord had raised Mary's brother. And who knows what other good things that she had witnessed. But she loved the Lord. And she was grateful for all that He had done for her. What about you? He died on the cross for you. He came to this earth. He lived as a man for 33 years. And He went to the cross and He suffered for you. Are you willing to do what you can for the Lord? I tell you, He is certainly worthy of all the praise and all the honor and all the gratitude and all the love and all the devotion that you can possibly give Him. Are you doing what you can? He is worthy of our complete and loyal obedience. Are you doing what you can for the Lord? He is certainly worthy of our best. He is worthy of our all. Friend, I tell you, the Lord gave His all for you. Did He not? Pour out for my Savior, O let me be, a sweet aroma rising to Thee, no price too great, no service too small, poured out for You, precious Savior. I pour out my all. What a wonderful story and a wonderful lesson that we can learn from Mary. A woman who loved the Lord, who believed the Lord, and wanted to let Him know how much she appreciated Him. So she honored Him. People may criticize you for that if you follow her example. That's all right. You will receive the praise of God. And you'll receive eternal life. Just as Lazarus was raised from the dead. Remember, in fact, in John chapter 11, Jesus told Martha and Mary that He was the source of life and that Lazarus would live again. And they said, yes, in the resurrection. That's true. And Jesus proved it by raising Lazarus from the dead that very day. He is the source of life. And you can live with Him forever if you'll but give your life to Him. If you've never obeyed the gospel, believe that He's the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Him and be buried with Him in baptism. And you can be joined to Him today. Give Him your all. If you're a child of God, you're not living like you should. You're not giving Him your all. You're not doing what you can. Why don't you think about the example of Mary and begin today committing your life to the Lord. If we can help you, won't you come?